The fatherless are found. In a world where most religions are just heaping on a bunch of rules and obligations and things that people are trying to work into, it's an oppressive sort of system. And unfortunately, there's some forms of Christianity like that. The true God of the universe comes down and says, I know how messed up you are, and I want to help. In fact, you can't do anything yourself anyhow. It's all going to be dependent on me. And then he looks at us and says, I want you to exhibit that same kind of character and traits to other people. Today we're going to be looking at why do strong, successful people here give of their time and their money and everything else to go help people and serve people and love on people who will never be able to repay in any way, shape, or form that kind of care and love. And it relates to the fruit of the Spirit we're going to be talking about today. And if you have your bulletin, you can kind of follow along in there. The scriptures are there. There's nothing really to fill out. I just kind of gave you that outline if you'd like. We're kind of on an interesting journey here this summer. And today especially, there's no one word that in the original, in the Greek and the English, are they kind of headed in different directions than today. So part of my challenge today is, I know most of you have never studied Koine Greek. And I'm going to be trying to explain to you what this word means and how God wants this in our lives when there's no really good or there's no exact corresponding English word for this concept, this fruit of the Spirit that we're looking at today. We've been taking 9 weeks, and next week we'll be wrapping this series up, going through the fruit of the Spirit. This is what real maturity is. Real mature Christians are not ones who just come and sit and say amen at sermons and know a lot of doctrine. They're living out the character of God, the character of Christ. So this is the fruit that God produces in our lives. So we've been walking through this, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. We thought about that. Goodness, last week, faithfulness, and now gentleness. Gentleness. Now, what in the world is gentleness? Some of you have been around long enough, you remember, if you ever read the King James on this, it translated it meekness. Now, I'll be honest, as a young guy, this was one of the concepts that I had a real hard time with Christianity. Because what I heard, I'm sure this wasn't what they meant to teach, but what I heard as a young guy is that all church was and all Christianity was, all right, God loves you and he wants you to be a real nice guy. Just be nice, kind. Almost, some examples, they were weak, almost effeminate. And see, in my mind, see, I thought all women were nice and kind and sweet. I didn't know about the other side. I was young and dumb. But I thought, that's not what I want to be like. There was a gentleman in one of the churches that I've been to and led, and they would say, oh, he's such a gentle guy. And he really was. I mean, he had a big heart. But whenever this guy would shake your hands, he'd kind of put his hand out like this. And it was like he were shaking hands with a dead fish. And I'm going, what is wrong with this guy? And it actually bothered me enough to where one time I asked him, after about a year or two, I said, George, it's not his name, but I'll go with it. I said, why do you shake hands like that? And he goes, well, sometimes I shake hands with older women and I don't want to hurt their hand. Oh, well, that's nice. If you're shaking hands with a 90-year-old great-grandmother, don't bone crush her. I think we all kind of get that one. But when you're shaking hands with normal people and with other men, shake their hand. Don't be some wimp. That's well, he wants to be gentle. That's a wrong understanding of what this word is that we're talking about today. And by the way, parents, you guys know this, whether you have daughters or sons, especially sons, teach them how to put a hand out there and shake somebody's hand so that they're not coming across like a wimp. I'm not saying be a bone crusher, just be a man about it. Or a strong woman. All right. So when somebody says, okay, you need to be gentle, or the old King James word, meek, what is your mental image of that? This is a gentle man. Well, if you lived a couple thousand years ago, the ancient Greeks, they didn't think too much of that. In fact, one historian put it this way, quote, a noble Greek was a dignified, proud man who shunned inferior people and considered meekness or gentleness an ignoble or despicable trait. You ever met somebody like that? They don't have time to be around inferior people. Guys, that's where racism comes from. I'm of a different class or group or race, or I have more money, or I have more education. And they're not gentle this way. Now, this is one concept where our society and the world is going one direction and God's calling us to go in another. And this is hard for us to grasp. The world doesn't respect being gentle. Unless you're talking about being with a child or something. Several years ago, I was watching a football game, and it was a kickoff, and the last person to be able to make the tackle was the kicker. Kickers are not known for their athletic prowess, except in kicking the ball. And this kicker kind of fit that mold. This was an NFL team, but he sort of, you know, the guy kind of got near the sideline and he sort of kind of ran with him for about 10 yards and kind of shoved him out. And the commentators were laughing. They said, well, he made a gentle tackle. Do you ever want anybody saying of your favorite team, they made a gentle tackle? No, we want people who know how to tackle, drive somebody to the ground. We don't want somebody gentle. So is God calling us to be gentle and kind? Yes and no, because it depends on the situation. See, this is where following rules is not what the Bible is about, and it's not what walking with God is about. Yes, we're to be kind and soft and gentle in times, but in a very different way than we think. And the way, again, God wants us to live this out is so different from what society does. So, let's look at how, again, Christ lived this out, and then we're going to unpack this word. Here is Christ. Now, we've talked about Jesus. He's fully man and fully God. All of Godhead dwells in him. So he is infinitely power. He is powerful. He is omnipotent. And here's the one place he describes his heart. It's in Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you'll, by the way, those two terms go side by side in many passages in Scripture. Gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So here is the all-powerful God saying, here's my heart, I'm gentle and humble of heart. This is the way that I am responding. This is the true God of the universe. You look at the stories and the parables in the life that Jesus said. Look at the prodigal son. You've got and many of you know this story, a young man comes to his dad and says, hey, I'd like my inheritance now, which is sort of like saying, I wish you were just dropped dead so I could have your money. And rather than the father shaking him or you know, back then just beating him, because they could do that back then, he actually gives him the money. The young son goes off. He wasted all in wild living, and Scripture says he comes to his senses and realizes, boy, this was a stupid idea, and he comes back to the Father in repentance, and the Father embraces him, and then he has to deal with an angry, upset older brother because he didn't get all that kind of grace, he didn't think, and on the story goes. Now, what's interesting is the Father here, which is representing God, handles the rebellion of the two and the disconnection of both boys with incredible strength and yet unbelievable love and mercy and grace and gentleness. He's not weak. He's not wishy-washy. But he is gentle when he, at least as everything in me as a dad would want to say, you want to what? Now, this word gentleness, I don't do this a whole lot, but this is one that's I think can be helpful. The Greek word here that's translated in the NIV, gentleness, is the term praus. Praus. And I said, there's no good exact English translation. So different translations translate a different way. It's translated gentle, which is the most common, gentleness, humility, meekness, or being considerate. Now, the concept here is that praus is the opposite of being self-assertive, self-interested, self-focused. It's the opposite of saying, I want it my way. Have you ever felt like that? You want something, you know you're right. Anybody here know you know you're right? And it needs to be this way. Some of you love to argue because you know you're right. And gentle is just the opposite. The humble, gentle spirit stems from a trust in God and God's goodness, that he is over every situation. So a gentle person is not preoccupied by themselves. They're preoccupied with who God is and what God is doing in other people. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. You can't really produce this on your own. The problem is every English word that we have that kind of corresponds to me indicates a weakness, like gentleness or meekness. It suggests an inferiority. But praus in the Greek doesn't have that connotation at all. So some have said humility is a good translation. It's an attitude of the heart that demonstrates itself in behavior. So it's this gentle, humble heart or attitude. It's a condition of the mind that leads to the behavior. So Jesus used the term in Matthew 5:5, in his Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are the meek. That's that same word, praus, for they will inherit the earth. Now, in the world's way, gentle, meek people don't inherit the earth. It's the rich, it's the powerful, it's the dominant ones. But Jesus turns it around and said, no, it's the meek, it's the gentle ones. And that doesn't make any sense because we see meek and gentle as being weak. That's not the concept here. The best illustration actually comes from the ancient Greeks. They used this term praus to describe a wild stallion who is then being trained and broken. And when the horse is broken, they say he is praus. He is gentle. Now, the horse still has all of its strength, I mean, you've got 1,000 pounds of rippling muscle in a large animal under the total control of the rider. That's gentleness. So here's the handle that's in your, the understanding of it that's in your notes there. Gentleness is strength under God's control. It is strength. And none of our English words give that connotation or idea of strength under control, like a wild horse that now submits to the every little nuance of a rider. So let me ask you, are you that kind of gentle? Are your strengths under control? Is your personality, your opinions, your intellect under God's control? Now, you'll see in your notes there, the scripture says we're to express this gentleness in two directions. We're to express it toward God, and we're to express it toward one another. So, real quickly, let's look at our expressing it toward God. I mean, how can you be gentle toward God? Well, again, it's an attitude of the heart. It's a humility. It's the clothing of a servant. It signifies a total dependence on God. It's the opposite of pride and ego, and I've got to have it my way, and God, you're going to do it this way. That's why Jesus would say this in John 15:5. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. You can do nothing. Unless you understand true gentleness, this term praus, this strength under control, where God's strength comes through, if you're still trying to do it on your own, you can accomplish nothing of eternal or spiritual significance. So humility and gentleness toward God is that attitude of heart where we totally accept that what he's doing is good. We're not resisting and arguing with God. You ever thought of yourself, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God why, and then you lay it out. That's not being gentle toward the Lord. That doesn't mean you can't ask questions. I mean, Jesus asked questions at the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, God, is there any other way this can happen? But there is an attitude of submission, of dependence. And again, only the Holy Spirit can really work this self out of us to where we really are dependent upon him. So the question for you to really ask yourself, am I really gentle toward God? Am I submitting myself to him and to his lordship and to his leadership? Can you really rest in God's sovereignty, or are you just beating your head against the wall with God? Some of you this morning are fighting the Lord. God, why is it this way? I don't like this. This needs to change. Why have you allowed this in my life? And you're And God, I don't want to have to stop this or give up that. And you're not being gentle. You're not being broken toward God. But we're also to choose to be gentle and humble with other people. And in the Apostle Paul lays this out in Titus chapter 3. And he says, if you're really mature, then there is a gentleness, a humility toward others. And this is one of those examples of a verse where the different English translators just aren't exactly sure the absolute best way to translate this word, because we don't have that good English word. But let me just read it from the NIV. Titus 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities. Okay. Now, by the way, the rulers and authorities were not God-fearing people. They weren't Christians or anything else, but there's still a responsibility that we're to submit to authority. To be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one. And by the way, I think I said before, online stuff, I read a woman this week who, I think she's an actress, she's a Christian actress, and I forgot her name, shows how much I'm up on it. But she's got a couple of million followers, not million, a couple hundred, over 100,000 followers on her blog and Facebook. And she said, it is brutal. She goes, the amount of back and forth of Christians going after one another and after her, and I think she should do this, and I don't think she should do it. I mean, she goes, I can understand why someone who is not a believer and not a Christ follower would go, I don't want to be a part of that bunch. Because they attack and slander one another. There's no gentleness and respect when they deal with each other. Anyhow, ready to do whatever's good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle, there's that word praus there, toward everyone. The NIV in 1984 translated it to show true humility toward all men. Let me ask you, are you humble toward everybody? It's easy to be humble when somebody is if Billy Graham walked in the room, if some incredible star shows up, you'd go, wow, it's easy to be humble there. It's hard to be humble when deep down you really think you might be a little bit better than that other person. The New American Standard translates it showing every consideration. ESV is showing perfect courtesy. Being courteous and kind is a part of living out this fruit of the Spirit of gentleness. Again, it's the opposite of being self-assertive, self-interested. It's the opposite of being hard, harsh, lashing out, arrogant, and hot-headed. Here's another way of putting it. When you are gentle, you have the fruit of gentleness coming out of your life, you're not a jerk. You know what a jerk is? Don't point, just, smile now, yes. You ever seen a jerk driving on the road? When we are gentle toward one another, we don't act like jerks. We're not so full of ourselves that it's got to be our way. Now, what I've heard in the past when we've gone over this, some people will say, well, Bob, you see, you don't understand. I'm a strong personality. Do we have anybody here with a strong personality? Anybody strong personality? Okay, all right. For those of us with strong personalities, one person said, I'm not afraid to share my opinion with anyone. I'll share my opinion at the drop of a hat. And you wait long enough and I'll drop the hat. I tell it like it is. Well, as one who has a strong personality, which typically means you just have strong opinions about things and you're not afraid to share it with others, guys, we've got to learn to be more gentle, to be more full of Christ as we deal with folks and less full of ourselves. And here's the interesting thing. The more gifted you are, the brighter you are, the more education you have, the more social standing you have, the stronger the opinions you have, the harder it is for you to be gentle. The harder it is for you to submit all of that strength to Christ. You see, for those of us with strong opinions, here's something we have to figure out, and this is amazing. Not everybody cares about your opinion. You don't need to share it with everyone. And sometimes I've seen believers use their personality as an excuse to why they act like a jerk sometimes. And they go, well, I don't act like a jerk all the time. Just when I'm mad or upset or someone's being an idiot. Well, that's the whole point. That's when the fruit of the Spirit is supposed to come out of your life. When you would like to argue someone down, you would like to let somebody really have it. You want to make sure they understand how right you are and how wrong they are. That's where we must learn gentleness, to be genuinely considerate, to show true humility toward all men and women. And honestly, guys, there's still a lot of men who have trouble being humble toward women because deep down, they still think they're better. And now I've met a whole bunch of women who have a hard time dealing with men because They think men are a bunch of idiots and women are so much smarter and brighter and more in tune with everything. And even when you're right, we need to be gentle toward one another, humble, considerate. Here's the big thing. We don't need to overwhelm people with ourselves or our personality. We need to overwhelm them with who Christ is. One of the things that irritates me like crazy, and if you do this and I see you someplace, I'll call you down. Have you ever been to a restaurant and you see a quote-unquote Christian acting like a jerk toward the waiter or the waitress? Ordering them around like, I didn't get my water. Treating them like, here they are serving you. And then we act like they're our personal servants or something. Please don't let people know that you go to the West Campus if you act that way. Remember, every place you go, you represent Christ and you represent us. Treat that waiter or that waitress as if you would want to be treated. Treat them with gentleness. Treat them with humility, with respect. Because you're representing far more than you realize. Again, this is the opposite of the world. You know, I see these seminars coming out, and I'm sure some of you have seen it work. You know, there's learning to be self-assertive or self-assertiveness, especially for women. Learn not to get run over. Stand up for your rights. And by the way, some of you probably need to learn how to be stronger, how to set up appropriate boundaries, how to have a confidence in who you are in Christ. But you know what? I've never seen anybody send out a brochure advertising a seminar on humility or gentleness. The world's not interested in this, guys. But God is. So here's the balance. A gentle, humble man is not some human mouse. They're not somebody with an inferiority complex. And there are a lot of people who have no strength. I'm just being a meek, gentle person. No, you're just being a wimp. You're not able to share truth or stand up for what's right because you keep giving in to everybody. That's not this biblical gentleness. This is gentleness that is strength under God's control. It's to be like Christ. Remember, he was humble, he was meek, but he didn't back down an inch from the Pharisees or the others who needed to be dealt with. Now, very quickly in there, I just want to highlight three areas scripturally that God specifically challenges those of us who are followers of Christ to exhibit gentleness. And you see there, one is leaders. If you're in leadership, Moses is called pros. He's called a meek, gentle man. Jesus, the Apostle Paul. If you're leading and part of the leadership of the church, we're called to have a servant heart and attitude, to be gentle toward one another. We don't attack others. And if there's false teaching, then we need to make that clear and be strong. But even there, we do it with gentleness and strength. The second area is in witnessing or sharing our faith. The Apostle Peter put it this way, 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. That's the strength. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. When you're talking with someone about your faith, we want you to be able to do that, but you do it with gentleness, with respect toward the other person, even when you disagree with them. And then last is when we're confronting one another. And this is tough. Galatians 6:1, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Same word there. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. So when we are to approach one another, we do it with humility, not pride. We ask questions. We don't walk in accusing folks, and we're just very, very careful. So in leadership, That's why this concept of being gentle is so important. We can't afford to have hotheads leading a body or guiding us through difficult circumstances, but someone who knows who they are in Christ, has appropriate boundaries, but is calm and gentle and shows respect even when someone is going through a hard time. Righteousness is a core value, but it's done with gentleness. Gentleness is strength under God's control. So, is there somebody you haven't been gentle with? Is there somebody you've been arguing with? You've been making sure they know that you're right and that they're wrong? Today, as a whole church, and you individually, would you be willing to just come before God and say, God, do a new work in my heart. Do a new work in my life. Help me learn to be truly gentle. Gentle toward you, Lord, and gentle toward others. And take all that you've given me, all my thoughts and my opinions and my intellect and my education and everything else, and I'm going to submit all that to you. Because, God, I don't want me to shine forth. I want Christ. Together, we really can be, in the power of the Holy Spirit, gentle, humble people. And when we do, Jesus says, we'll inherit the earth. Let's go to Him in prayer. Would you join me? Heavenly Father, it is amazing that you exhibit and show us what real gentleness and humility is, and you're God. Help us, Lord, to show that kind of humility. Lord, I pray for somebody today who's at a place where I've been before, and they've just been beating their head against the wall of you. They don't like the way you've done things, the way you've set things up. They don't like the hand they've been dealt with in life. They don't like your standards. Lord, today, would you just draw them to yourself? Let them know they can rest in your goodness, in your peace, in your sovereignty, and in strength. They can rest in you. And if today you just need to come to the Lord for the first time or come back to Him, you have that opportunity. In this time of invitation, I just pray you'll just really be broken before a loving, holy God who loved you enough to die on a cross for you. And Lord, for all of us who our own personalities and our strengths start leaking out and we start just saying, well, this is just the way I am. God, I pray that we will be gentle, humble toward one another. And God, that makes a church a delight to be in. May you get the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.